Cutting seems to be more than just a trend in federal, state, and local government, does it not? Let's just focus on what's been, or at least has been, attempted to take place with cuts at the federal level. Have you been able to keep up with all that, any of that? Has it impacted you? Do you think it won't? That last one is what the White House and Congress hopes is the dominant belief. Their thinking is that if you've never heard about what's being cut, then you really won't care. Our next guest joins us with a strong counterpoint to that belief. She is the director of the Hoboken Public Library, official librarian of Issues and Ideas, Jenny Poo. How are you today, Jenny?
I am great. Thank you for having me back again, Chris.
Good to talk with you, especially for this occasion. HobokenLibrary.org is we're going to know more about what the Hoboken Library offers. And in so many ways, too, I don't say this to glad hand Jenny because she's here, albeit verbally. But to learn about what a library's potential fully is, I think Hoboken Library is indeed one of those locations. But that's a talk for another time. Let us focus on something, as I alluded to in the introduction. The hope is if they've never heard about it, they're not going to care if we cut it. In this case, it's the Institute of Museum and Library Services. What is that supposed to be doing? What has it been relied on to do up until this point?
So the Institute of Museum Library Services, it's the only federal agency for museums and libraries. And real simply what it does, what it has been doing since it was established, I believe, in the 60s, was to give grants to large libraries and state libraries and to state library agencies. It funds a lot of different kinds of programs. Here in New Jersey, the New Jersey State Library gets about $4 million. And while that doesn't sound like a lot, it funds services for our most vulnerable, for our Talking Braille Library in Trenton. It also helps to fund interlibrary loan services so people can get books from different types of libraries, like delivery service. And it also funds professional development. So scholarships and funding for future librarians. And that's just in our state. Across the country, IMLS is critical, especially for our rural and tribal libraries.
And this is something that the president said was deemed it to be unnecessary, part of a bureaucracy that we needed to get rid of. But unfortunately, New Jersey is one of, I believe it's 21 states who has pushed back and at least at this point has stalled this from happening. But while that's certainly great news for libraries, it's almost like with, I'll make the analogy of Walmart just to consolidate the analogy a bit. It's like with Walmart and tariffs, every day it's another story. There's that uncertainty. And what do you do with that? Same thing with the libraries and the potential future of the Institute of Museum and Library Services. It'll be great if it survives, but what if it doesn't? And that's in between the purgatory in a way. That does not make life easy for planning when it comes to what a library wants to do, can do, and can maintain in doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's, like you mentioned, we're fighting back, and we're fighting back in the courts. You reference an injunction that was filed. Our state AG, Plotkin, filed along with 20 other states. So we do have a hold on it. And the good news is, because of the voices that rose up, because of everyday people who have emailed their legislators and their elected representatives and told them how critical their library is to them, some of the grants that were suspended are now going through again. But you're right, Chris. This is a fight that we see continuing, and we will continue to fight in the courts, but most importantly, spreading awareness to everyone, which is why talking about it on your show is so helpful, because people have taken for granted, not just libraries, I shouldn't say have, but some people have taken for granted libraries, but things like PBS, right, also being threatened of losing funding. And we have to make sure that our voices are loud and clear. So we tell the government, we tell the federal agencies, listen, I need my Braille book. I need my you know, I'm hard of hearing. I need to have large print books or, you know, books that talk to me. I need services. So while this fight is long from over, we are seeing some hope, and that's what we have to keep fighting for.
For you listening, the annual budget, most recently for the Institute of Museum and Library Services, $300 million. Certainly sounds like a lot of money, but when you think of the level of federal spending, if you want to put it into comparison, go over to the Jersey Shore, step up to the Atlantic Ocean, fill a thimble. That's about what you're talking about here as far as the equivalent versus what is spent on social programs, on military, on, well, things that aren't that useful and wasteful, as unfortunately the Institute of Museum and Library Services is being falsely, wrongly referred to as. I noticed too that the funding that comes through the IMLS has really helped and continue the growth and the access to ebooks for libraries. And that certainly is what came about during the pandemic, because it was a way to get access to reading in from places where you couldn't always or couldn't often enough get into physically. And is that one of the big misconceptions too? People think, well, it's not a hardcover book, that we know those things cost $30, $40, even $70 in some cases. Ebooks are next to free. So how much can that add to a library? Well, when you think about the size of an ebook collection a library has, that's a lot of ebooks and that's a lot of money.
And you're right. And actually, ebooks do cost us more money. And that's a topic for another day, where publishers are charging libraries three times as much as the retail price that a normal consumer would go and buy it. So absolutely. And ebooks, by the way, this we're now 5 years after the pandemic. That market share continues to grow. E-books and audiobooks continue to become more and more popular for the reasons that you mentioned. They're easy to transport. It's easy to access. They're very popular. So yeah, IMLS is really critical and it funds that, for several state libraries across the country and databases. I know, not the most exciting thing to talk about, certainly, but certainly critical for our students. And for job seekers who need free resources to access when they're looking for employment.
And certainly when you're looking for a job and not, if you don't have computer access, you're going to have a challenging time. I know that the employment agencies, the state employment workforce agencies, they offer computers, but they're not, you know, versus the number of terminals versus the number of people who are in need of those terminals. It's quite a challenge. So to have another outlet to do the work you need to do if you don't have the computer access, or if you're living off of your smartphone, and that doesn't always get it done either. That's one more reason to be glad that the library's lights are on, the doors are open. We're talking with Jenny Poo, who is the director of the Hoboken Public Library, hobokenlibrary.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. To take a negative and turn it into a positive, Jenny, is this a time for the libraries to do just that, to raise awareness? Here's what we are. We're a lot more than just books and lending books and DVDs, or that we do things here. We promote learning. We promote fun things. We promote learning more about the crafts and things that you could do as an individual and flourish in.
You know, I would say this issue is so big. It's actually gone beyond us. And I've had people reach out to me who weren't aware really previously of how tenuous our funding is. And so I would actually say this is kind of a good thing, because it's raised awareness already due to all these executive orders. And yes, it is an opportunity to go visit your public library, see all the things that we're doing. Here in Hoboken, we, of course, have our collections. We have a great, robust interlibrary loan. But we also have 24/7 lockers. You can pick up your materials. We have classes for, you know, from baby story time all the way to our Tai Chi classes for seniors. You know, loneliness is a big problem in our community, and libraries are the front line of bringing people together to connect and to share. So, yeah, libraries are really, truly the community hubs in America, and we're critical now more than ever, not just for our spaces, but because we have been trusted stewards of public dollars. Boy, you give us a dollar, we sure know how to stretch it, every single penny.
I want to read this from the new acting director of the IMLS, Keith Sonderling. He recently confirmed, before that he was deputy secretary of the Department of Labor, and from 2020 to 24, Commissioner of the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Well, that makes him qualified to sit in the seat he's currently in, but that's, he got through confirmation, so I guess we got to go with it. I'm committed to steering this organization in lockstep with this administration to enhance efficiency, foster innovation. We will revitalize IMLS and restore focus on patriotism, ensuring we preserve our country's core values, promote American exceptionalism, and cultivate love of country in future generations. You can picture him standing in front of the American flag as he's saying this. But I thought the library was a place for free thought and exploration of all ideas, whether you agree with them or not. It seems like he's sort of hinting, at least, at looking to create a more narrow focus.
You're exactly right. What you just read was all partisan rhetoric, and libraries are not, have never been partisan, because we serve everyone. So I would encourage this acting director to actually go visit a public library and see what we do, because we're fulfilling our mission and then some. So like I said, we're going to be in for a little bit of a fight, but we have been not exactly in this situation before, but libraries have been under duress before, and we've come out, and that is really because of the support of the public.
And keep in mind, this wasn't truly totally unexpected. Trump did try this in his first term, and a bipartisan effort in Congress blocked it.
Yes.
So if the federal courts can't do it, I mean, we know this is going to go in front of the Supreme Court. There's no question about that. That track has already been grounded into the ground. But if the courts can't do it, Congress certainly can, or at least we hope they can. That's a sort of world state we're in right now. But just to wrap up, with the person listening right now who is saying, wait a minute, they're trying to do what? What can an individual do for their local public library?
They can do two things. One, reach out, go visit your public library, thank your librarian, tell them how important their service is. And then two, reach out to your elected representative. Tell them a simple story, you know, how the library has been there for you, how you value it, and how they need to go and use their voice to champion the public library for their community.
I want to add 3 and 4 to that. If there is a need for volunteers, whether there's a book sale going on, a special event going on.
Yes, of course.
step up and work with that. And if you have a talent or a skill, or if you want to do coaching, see if the library is open to the idea of you coming in and being a teacher in some way, shape, or form.
Any form of involvement. I love it.
Helping seniors learn computer skills. You could do something after hours on the days that libraries close earlier some days than not. There are a whole host of ways that you as an individual can be part of the resistance to what's being attempted in cutting the funding and in some cases even the existence of certain public libraries. Find out more about the Hoboken Public Library, hobokenlibrary.org. She is the director and certainly a leader in a lot of ways when it comes to the freedom of thought that libraries were founded on, built on, and must always need to exist on. Jenny Poo, thank you for everything that you do for the fight that's right, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris.